This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee. My name's Mitch Ellis, a.k.a. Thunder. Once again, thanks to Jason Brindowski for jumping on from the River Club of Mequon. And if you were listening carefully, you could hear that Mason and I did that interview on Wednesday when Mason was here, not with his feet on the beach in Bermuda like he is right now. He'll be back on Tuesday. The Brewers start a three-game series tonight against the Washington Nationals. And remember that Sparky will go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports this afternoon at 3:20 on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan, and free on the Odyssey and iHeart apps. Well, we've been talking Brewers. We've been talking a lot of, you know, the young players and what could happen when Nestor Cortes comes back, what's already happened with the number of the players on the team and who has options, who doesn't. Well, to join us now on the Mason Crosby Show with me, Mitch Thunder Nellis, to talk about some of those comings and goings and how everybody's doing in Nashville is play-by-play voice of our Nashville Sounds, Jeff Hem. Jeff, welcome to the show. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for jumping on. I know Mason's off today, but I also know that Mason is like really figuring out his schedule and trying to get to some games this year. So when we get him, because, you know, he lives in Brentwood. So when he gets to some games, we'll have to get him up in the booth with you for an inning or something like that, or whatever you're allowed to do with the Packers all-time leading
scorer. Can you get him
scorer?
To throw out a first pitch? Somehow he's never thrown out a first pitch at a baseball game at Miller, American Family Field, and it feels like Nashville, I mean, they've had their time. Nashville can be the first time Mason Crosby throws out a first pitch.
That'd be great.
Yeah, let's do it. We need to make that happen. I'm surprised he's never done it in Milwaukee, but we can do it in Nashville, and we'll kind of stiff-arm the Titans and welcome in one of the all-time Packers greats to throw out the first pitch.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Jeff Hem joining the show. Jeff, I want to talk a little bit just in some recency. Yesterday, we saw Nestor Cortes on a rehab assignment. We've seen a number of rehab assignments coming through at Nashville. Blake Perkins was one of the more recent ones, and he got a little banged up in that process. What did you see during that? And it sounds like it's not super serious, but as far as looking to join the Major League Ball Club, do you have any more information on that from what you've heard over in Nashville?
Yeah, we're in Durham right now in the middle of a six-game series. Game four is coming up tonight. And I think Blake, if he's not going to be here for tonight's game, I think he's coming back sometime this weekend to resume a rehab assignment. So again, you know, what has it been, about a week or so, a little more than a week, I guess, since he suffered that little groin injury. Yep. I noticed it in the at-bat that it happened. He kind of planted his foot to take a swing, didn't take the swing. And then as he kind of regained his footing, you could tell he felt something, and he played like another inning and then came out of that game. It's one of those where, as the broadcaster, you notice it. You don't always bring it up right away on the air, but you kind of file it away in the back of your mind. And then mm-hmm. the next day, I found out he had a groin strain. Like, oh, I bet it happened in that fifth inning at bat. Didn't look, you know, obvious. Didn't look significant. Didn't look like he was in absolute agony. So encouraging that he's only missed about a week and that he can resume a rehab assignment sometime, if not tonight, sometime this weekend. Get a couple games in before the All-Star break. I think that would be really helpful for everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. We've talked about here in Milwaukee how well Collins has played in left field and that the Brewers outfield seems pretty good, but they're definitely missing that piece of the guy who can be that backup, fill-in center and right field, because we've got a glut of left fielders or guys who think they can play left field, or the Brewers think they can play left field, but we're not quite sure about that, and Blake Perkins would certainly be that guy to fill in there.
Well, I think he just gives the Brewers options, because they've got, like you said, they've got a lot of guys who can play at least a couple different spots in that outfield, if not every spot in that outfield. And Perkins is definitely in that group. I mean, he's a center fielder yep. who could play the corners if they need him to. I know this wasn't your question, but I am so happy to see what Isaac Collins has yeah. become for that club. Where would they be without Isaac yeah. Collins? Where would they be without Chad Patrick, who's going to start here for the Sounds tonight in Durham with no room in the end right now in that rotation with Woodruff coming back? What a great problem for the Brewers to have Chad Patrick, Tobias Myers, and Logan Henderson in this Sounds rotation. But Collins was a guy that on opening day of last year was just happy to be at AAA and not to have gone back to AA. And then by the end of May, it was like, how could you not have this guy in the lineup? He was producing every single time. And then this time around, getting a shot in the big leagues and running with it. That's what you need if you're the Brewers. And they just are so good at finding, they're good at finding the really high-level prospects that we all know about.
Sure.
They're also really good at finding those under-the-radar guys. And Collins, you know, was kind of a roster afterthought last year at AAA.
Yeah.
And now he is indispensable in the big league lineup. It's really cool to see when those kind of stories develop.
Jeff, I know you're at Nashville right now, and the season, you know, it's going pretty well so far. You've had no first half championship, but trying to go after it now in the second half. Do you feel though that you are at one of the more boring sounds like the wrong word. I don't want to take that, but it feels like there's top prospects at every level right now for the Milwaukee Brewers, and Nashville is kind of in that middle spot right now where it's a lot more veteran guys who are on those minor league deals, and you know, you're waiting to see if a Cooper Pratt could make a jump up from Double A, or you're waiting to see what Low A and High A can bring up right now. Who are some guys, I guess, just at Triple A that you do think are going to crack some major league rosters here in the future that are going to be some pretty exciting pieces to keep an eye on right now? I mean, Logan Henderson seems like an obvious choice because we've seen him in Milwaukee and everyone was impressed with what they have, but it seems like it is the level right now that is just stuck in this purgatory because there isn't the top end prospect there yet, and a lot of the guys are major league veterans already.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from on that. I think it's in my experience, these last few years with the Brewers and just my experience at AAA overall, when you've got a parent club contending the way the Brewers are, I would say more times than not, the AAA team is going to be built a little bit older, a little bit more veteran, because if they need to call up somebody, I think 9 times out of 10, you like the idea that that player maybe already has their feet wet at the big league level. I mean, I think of the Sounds bullpen right now. These may not be the you know, sexy prospect names for the Brewers, but you've got Elvis Peguero, you've got Yoel Piamps, who's really turned some things around. You've got Brian Hudson. Those are three guys who've been big contributors to the Brewers in the last year or two on the position player. And then you mentioned Logan Henderson in the starting rotation and Tobias Myers and Chad Patrick. So pitching-wise, I think they're good. You're right. A lot of the big-time prospect names are down at AA, if not lower. The Sounds do have Jefferson Caro, who's looked really good these last few weeks, coming back from the long road back from his shoulder injury. He's hitting the ball great. They're being careful with how much they catch him because they don't want to injure, even not the shoulder, but injure other parts of the arm if the shoulder still has those dozen bolts in it from the surgery. So he's DHing some to keep the bat in the lineup and catching a couple times a week. So I think the roster is built in a way, I'll put it this way, the Brewers are already very young at the big league level. If I'm them, I'm thinking, all right, what older guys, what veteran guys, what big league experienced guys could we build with at AAA? So if those guys come up, they've already got their feet wet. Andrew Vaughn is a perfect example of that. He's not going to be in a prospect ranking, but look what he's done since he's come up to the Brewers. He's jumped right in and not taken what some young guys need is that little bit of runway of acclimation. Vaughn doesn't need that. He did that a few years ago for the White Sox. And when you're a contending big league team, I think you like the idea of maybe a comfort level if you're Pat Murphy or the front office of a more of a plug and play with a guy like Vaughn.
Absolutely. Jeff Hem, play-by-play voice of the Nashville Sounds, joining us today on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. And I know we touched on these names, but I want to get a little more in depth with Logan Henderson, Tobias Myers, and Chad Patrick specifically. Three guys who have seen real success at the major league level. I mean, Logan Henderson comes up here, blows everybody away, and there was a little furor up here in Milwaukee when he got sent back down because of how well he pitched. Tobias Myers up here all of last season with a 3 ERA. I mean, truly a stud last year. You know, maybe it's mechanics, maybe didn't get all the way back healthy this year. But certainly pitching well for you. And now Chad Patrick, again, like Chad Patrick wasn't even supposed to be in the starting rotation. And at the time he got sent down, he was tied for the team lead in game started. He was just a couple innings off of where Freddie Peralta was. Absolutely. You know, we talk about guys on our team being dogs. And Collins is a dog. Chad Patrick is a dog. How do you see these three guys progressing this season? What do you see in terms of what they're going to give to the Sounds, but what also they could potentially give to the Brewers at some point, knowing all three have had success at the major league level, but now, you know, and then continuing that, how do you stay mentally strong when you know you've succeeded at the highest level and now you're sent down a level? How do you stay positive? How do you stay strong?
Yeah, it's a great question. And again, I go back to there's kind of a couple ways I look at this. From the player's standpoint, of course, they want to be in the big leagues. They're thinking, come on, man, I did everything I could. How can I not stay? That they should feel that way. You want them to kind of be a little ticked off if they're getting sent down, because it means they did well. From the front office standpoint, you're thinking, what a great problem to have. Yep. That we have essentially an 8-man big league rotation because these three guys are down at AAA. The fan in us, it's easy to think, how could they send those guys back down? Mm-hmm. You have to also kind of, the roster puzzle factors in. Who's got options?
Right.
I also would remind fans that, again, the player, that their mindset is different. But from a roster construction standpoint and kind of the evolution of becoming an established big leaguer, this is usually how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Very rare is the player who gets called up and never get sent back down. I mean, I remember early last year, it was like, well, they got to option Jackson Churriozzi. He's got to figure some things out maybe. He was able to find his way without having to come back to AAA. 2 years ago, Bryce Terang came back down for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. It's kind of supposed to work that way because it's just not a linear path. So I'm not surprised that these guys have come back, but I'm also not surprised that they've done well. Your question is a great one about how do they stay mentally sharp when they're down here. I go back to Chad Patrick. I was so impressed with his season here last year when he wasn't getting called up. And he was dominating by this time last year. And it was sort of like, what more does he need to do? When will he get a shot?
He won the Triple Crown last year, right? Like he was the Triple Crown winner in AAA.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, he did. And Logan Henderson joked, he goes, I think he won the septuple Triple Crown because he led in like four other categories. But the main ones, yes, he led in those. So, but at this time last year, if you're Chad Patrick, it would have been really easy to think, well, you know, they're not going to call me up. I'm doing this well, and I haven't got my shot yet. His season could have gone down the tubes.
Sure.
He kept doing his thing. That shows you some pretty strong mental toughness, in my opinion, that he finished that year as strong as he began it and didn't get the call up. And I think Logan and Tobias and Chad, I think they get it. They don't like it, but I think they get it. They understand who's in front of them and kind of the pecking order of that rotation. So, again, they're not happy. You don't want them to be happy, but I think they get it. And I think they also know that in a moment's notice, they could be back up there and they could be asked to jump right in. So you've got big league success under your belt.
Yep.
You've got a contending team that may call you back up. That right there should be motivation enough to keep doing your thing. And their performance down here, we'll see about Chad tonight, but Tobias and Logan, their performance has shown that they've not had any kind of mental letdown of the disappointment of coming down. They've looked great. They've also taken the opportunity to work on some things. I think that is worth noting that when mm-hmm. the pressure's off down here for Henderson, he can throw his slider a little bit more. He can work on his cutter. He knows the fastball and changeup can get big league hitters out. I think Chad Patrick, slider and changeup need a little bit of work to keep getting big league hitters out. He knows that. I would imagine his usage on those pitches tonight will be up a little bit because he's got the pressure off and the chance to work on those things down at AAA. So they've come down with some marching orders, which I think is also important for them to think about what they can work on and not just kind of bide their time and hope for a chance next week or 2 weeks or whenever it might come.
Jeff Hem of the Nashville Sounds play-by-play broadcaster joining the Mason Crosby Show on the Gruber Fan Guest Hotline. Jeff, do you feel that everyone being excited about Jacob Mizorowski, you were like, been there, done that already? I already knew this guy was going to be awesome, and all you guys are just late to this party, almost like a bandwagon fanship right now, because I got to talk. So I've talked with Mitch and Mason on this show before that I had a friend who went to Crowder College with him. So once he was drafted out of Crowder College, I asked him, you know, what's up, what's the deal with this guy? And the one word he used was nasty. And that was back in 2021. They already, or 2022 rather, when he got drafted. He said, the slider is wipeout and he throws 100. What more do you want? Well, now he's got four pitches up here at the big league level. And I mean, just talk about that experience where you got to watch Mizorowski this year. You see him grow throughout the years now as well in the organization and with Nashville. And now he comes up to the big leagues and everyone loves the guy already.
Yeah, been there, done that, guys. This is old news. I don't need to talk about this.
Yes.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think, look, there's always an unknown when a guy goes up to the big leagues. You see the success down here. I can think about this with Chad Patrick. I can think about it with Logan Henderson and Tobias Myers. And I think Jacob Mizorowski may be in a little bit of his own category because of the elite fastball, but he still got to the point that those other three had gotten to, where it was the overall arsenal, it was the overall command, it was the overall consistency that told you, okay, this guy's ready. Yes, raw stuff. Mizorowski probably could have had some big league success a little while ago before the call-up, but the full picture came into view for him more recently, and that's, I think, what really told the Brewers that he was ready. But I've seen it. You watch enough AAA ball over the years, you see guys where you're like, oh, he can get it done at the big league level, and then they don't. And you see some other guys where you're like, well, I have my doubts. Let's see how it goes. And they become really strong big leaguers. So it's never an exact science, and that's kind of what makes it fun when a guy goes up, because you have in your mind an idea of how you think they can do or what they might need to be successful, but you never really know until they get up there and they get a chance to sink or swim. I felt pretty confident that Mizorowski was going to swim and not sink. I don't think anybody really deep down could have predicted that he would be this dominant.
Yeah, he's not just swimming. He's Michael Phelps,
right,
Jeff. Right,
right,
now, like.
Right, right. No, it's rare that he takes, you know, that a call-up takes the big leagues by storm. I mean, you know, when you get, you know, acquaintances of yours who aren't big baseball followers that have heard about Jacob Mizorowski, that's when you know it's extended a little bit beyond the greater baseball ether. So you're right. This is a different beast, but the commonalities are the same, from the sense of you still never really know how a guy's going to handle it when he gets to the big league level. But I do also think there is, again, a commonality to me with him, Henderson, Patrick, and Myers. And that is, all four of those, to me, having watched them enough at AAA, are slow heartbeat guys. They're not panic guys. They give up a couple of hits. You don't see this grand change in their body language. Their business as usual. I do think that's a key ingredient for big league success. They're not, well, what's this mood going to be like today kind of guys. They are even keel. And I do think that helps with big league consistency. And Mizorowski had that. It doesn't mean that they're not amped up or that they're not confident.
Sure.
But if things are ebbing and flowing in the inning, you don't see these grand changes in how they present themselves. It's like, all right, give me the next hitter. I'll get him out if I didn't get the last guy out. And you see Mizorowski showing that at the big league level. That is something that we did see at AAA, and I would put that in the same group as these other few young potential Brewers standouts.
Jeff, one more question for you here. It probably should have been near the beginning of this segment as opposed to the end, but I'm just curious as how you found your way into minor league baseball and to the Nashville Sounds. I have some experience in summer ball, like for four seasons, four different summers I was out in.
Whoa. Tommy, are you announcing that you are looking
no,
for a
I'm just curious. I love
with the Mason Crosby show?
I know the grind. He texted me yesterday or 2 days ago. He's like, oh, well, if the hotel Wi-Fi holds up, I'll be on the stream. And I've never felt and resonated more with a guest we've had on this show, because I've been in those hotels where you're making that grind. And you got a TV in there. Looks like it's all right. I mean, that could be worse, but I have stayed in these Motel 6s and traveled around, you know, to North Dakota, to Northern California, and all over the place. I just wanted to hear your timeline as to how you are, you know, where you were into how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, I got my start out of college in Class A ball and did 7 years in the Midwest League with the Kane County Cougars in suburban Chicago. So I've stayed in some of those hotels. Now, AAA is not the big leagues. We do not travel luxuriously or by charter. We do stay in much nicer hotels than some of the ones I was in years ago in A-ball. So we're in a very nice spot here in Durham. I don't want to slam their Wi-Fi. It's held up wonderfully. So we're in good conditions here in AAA. But, you know, minor league baseball, I think, for anybody who wants to get into play-by-play, presents great opportunity to get reps. That's really what you need when you're early going. You know what that's like, Tommy. Like you just need to go call games. And you can do that in basketball, or you can do that in football or hockey, but the nature of the baseball schedule, the length of it, presents great repetition to go day after day after day. So it wasn't for me like, oh, I don't want to do those other sports. It was just, I like baseball. Baseball presented the first opportunity, and then one thing leads to another, and I still do some other sports in the off season of baseball, but baseball has sort of paid the bills for a while now. Got to the Sounds in 2012, moving up from A-ball to AAA. In that sense, it kind of worked like it does for a player to try to climb the ladder. Love it in Nashville. I think like any player, broadcasters have aspirations too of big league this or other sports of that. But I love Nashville. We're very happy there. We're very fortunate to be there. It's a great city. It's a great market. They really support the Sounds. We've got a wonderful ballpark. So I feel very thankful where I'm at. And I would put this hotel in that category, too, being thankful where I'm at, because the Wi-Fi has held up for me to join.
Yeah, it sure has. Yeah.
You can imagine the Wilmer budget of Minnesota is the exact same as the Nashville Sounds, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Tommy, we'll get you there, I promise. Jeff Hem, play-by-play voice, Nashville Sounds, joining us. And my final question, kind of in line with that one, is like, you know, as you're speaking to the Milwaukee audience and the Brewers fans, who, like, the Milwaukee-Nashville connection is a very strong one. We know it in baseball. We also know it in hockey. Nashville's just has blown up in the past decade as a destination spot, a fun place to go hang out, a great city. I've been there a number of times. I have family on the eastern side of the state, and so oftentimes we meet in Nashville to hang out. But for fans who've never been to a Sounds game, you know, who Milwaukeeans who've never been down there, never been to Nashville, we could talk about Broadway and all the things Nashville has, but take us a little bit into like what type of experience are we going to have when we come to a Sounds game? What's the best thing to eat at a Sounds game that we can't miss? Those sorts of things.
Well, Nashville's all about the hot chicken. And so we've got some hot chicken at the ballpark that fans can certainly enjoy. You'll see a little bit of everything in our games. You know, as you guys probably know, at the AAA level, you've got to try to have a little bit of something for everybody as far as what might draw someone out to a ball game. No doubt, we've got the baseball covered with winning teams pretty much every year now with this Brewers affiliation. So the baseball is going to be great, but we also, as a front office, try to create fun with the promotions and the fireworks and the giveaways and the food and activities for kids. So I think it's a pretty well-rounded fan experience when people come to our games. We're considered a downtown ballpark, but it's on the north side, in an area called Germantown, which has its own ecosystem. And the cool thing about where our ballpark is located is it's on the grounds of where baseball originated in Nashville back in the early 1900s.
Wow.
With minor league ball, Negro League teams that used to play there, with barnstorming teams. It's a pretty cool list of guys who have played a ball game in Nashville over the centuries in one way or another. So we do a lot around the ballpark with little, like, mini monuments and markers to try to kind of tell the historical perspective of baseball in Nashville. But you're right. There's a cool symmetry with Nashville and Milwaukee. And our fans have really grown to become Brewers fans because, you know, we were with the Brewers for 10 years from 2005 through 2014 before switching affiliations. And then when MLB kind of took over operations in the minor leagues in 2021, they put us back with the Brewers. And we were like, hey, great. We know the Brewers. Our fans know the Brewers. So what's it been? Well, I guess that makes it like, I don't know, 15 of the last 20 years of Sounds baseball have been as a Brewers affiliate. So we saw Weeks, we saw Braun, we saw Fielder, we saw Gallardo, Hardy come through the last wave of Brewers stars. And now we've seen Frelick and we've seen Terang and we've seen Churio. So that part of it is really cool for our fans to have some consistency with the Brewers, even if geographically we're not in the backyard like they are up at Appleton.
Nice. Well, Jeff, I don't know exactly when it will happen, but Tommy and I are definitely planning a road trip to Nashville to meet up with the Crosby family. He's got 5 kids, so you're gonna have to feed a whole crew. But we're definitely gonna find a time to make it to Nashville. We'll all grab a bite to eat together and hang out, and maybe we'll get Mason to throw out a first pitch and see if he can hit 80.
I was going to say, how do you think he would do on a first pitch?
He would kick it harder than he would throw it. I mean, that's guaranteed. I've seen him throw. He. You know how it is, Jeff. When guys who think they know how to play every sport and then they throw a baseball on a first pitch and it looks like 50 cent. So that's what I would predict.
It won't be that bad. It won't be, come on.
I don't know. I have low faith in him.
He is an athlete.
Yes.
But he'll take something off it and he'll try to make sure it looks good. As opposed to like Tommy or I, who will just like rear
send
back
it
and throw it as hard as we can.
It'll be the last baseball I throw.
Right.
I promise.
It'll hit the backstop and like we'll probably hit a bird or something.
Yeah. It sounds like from a confidence standpoint, Mason would do this from the mound. He would go to the pitching rubber.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure he would. I'm not sure he would. He would talk about it that he would, but then when he gets out there, he'd be like, nope, I'm safer doing it lower down. Because
we're going to make this happen.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have to. Nice. We're going to try. Yes.
Well, Jeff,
Jeff
Hem, play-by-play voice of the Nashville Sounds. Enjoy. You said you're in Durham right now?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, enjoy Durham. Enjoy the rest of the season. We will definitely catch up before the end of the season to check in again. And when we make it down to Nashville, you will be the first to know. So thank you so much
That'd
for jumping
great.
On the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Jeff Hem joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Tommy, I think we have a new best friend.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
He's great.
Jeff is awesome. Yeah, yep. And I had gotten his contact info through Sparky, so he knows him. And
nice.
Excited. Obviously, you know how much I love watching the prospect game right now, too.
Yeah,
Nashville.
Nashville
is tough right now because it is not. And if you're looking at the future, Nashville's not quite the place to look right now.
But that's not uncommon. Not even for the Brewers, but around Major League Baseball.
Right.
If you have a very strong minor league system, it's very rarely at the AAA level. It's usually at AA and even more
but
at single
coming. A. It's also coming. It's ready to go in Nashville.
I wonder who skips Nashville. Like, that's always, you know, who's
yeah,
who
the top
ends up
guys
going
always go AA
straight from AA. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to watch. But they also get almost every rehab assignment.
Yep.
So they get, you know, they had Woodruff for a number of starts this year, which is like, that's fun for the fans also to be able to say, I saw Woodruff pitch at a AAA game where, you know, they're not necessarily getting autographs, but it seems like there's more access. Like,
it's a lot closer and a lot more personal at those minor league parks, too. That's why I said that when the Brewers were playing in Tampa or in the Steinbrenner Field, right?
Yeah.
Like, that looks like an awesome place to go watch a baseball game if you are just a pure baseball fan.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I love that. Now, I had a chance to go to Red Sox spring training this year, and that crew is actually talking about going to Arizona next year.
Mm.
I'm trying to get them to go. They want to go back to you know, and so we'll see. But whether it's spring training or whether it's minor league, it's just like it's smaller, it's more intimate. It feels like you can, you know, it's a different vibe than when you're in a stadium with 40,000, which is also awesome.
Correct,
especially when Mizorowski's outdueling Skeens and Kershaw.
Yeah, anyway.
like that is still amazing as well. We've got Mishmash coming up. Whatever's on your mind, whatever's on Tommy's mind, I'm going to take the can opener and get into Tommy's brain and just see what's on his mind going into this awesome, awesome weekend we have coming with Harley Fest, with the Nationals in town before the All-Star break. And if we have time, we're going to play a little bit of Doc Rivers sound from the Summer League just to hear what he had to say about Giannis if you missed it. This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee. Again, our thanks to Jeff Hem for joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. More of the Mason Crosby Show with me, Mitch Thundernellis, coming up next.